redeemed. We worship you now. Holy, 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 all you long. Heaven and angels, we the redeemed, we worship you now.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Father, we worship you. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The whole earth is full of your glory. The heavens declare your glory. The earth is full of the intricacies of the works of your wisdom. Even our bodies cry out, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. We reverence and we honor you. We enter your word with that same fear and reverence. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully aware of the limitations of the natural human mind, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. We ask for help, fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that I would speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here present physically, those who will hear me remotely electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you, my Father, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every single one of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to make our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy, to be faithful that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And always in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed individually with me and said, I have a very important message for us. It's not only for Scripture Pasture, it's for the church, particularly as we close 2018 and go into 2019. Like I said during the Bible study, I believe it was, or one of my exhortations earlier today, the years are going so fast. In actual fact, they're not going so fast. I mean, the time of a year is still the same. It's still the same 365 days. Because we're living in a time of great knowledge, which is one of the signs of the end time, according to the book of Daniel. It says, knowledge shall be increased. Communication has increased. The amount of information you get in a day now far supersedes the amount of information you used to get probably in a month. You know, barely 30, 40 years ago, there were no mobile phones. What am I talking about? There were no mobile phones. You know, 1998, we didn't have any mobile phones. Not in Nigeria, anyway. I remember we used to go to Togo, you know, the fish seller, and the person selling oranges will have a mobile phone. We said, when will we have this in Nigeria? Only the very rich had mobile phones in Nigeria. And if you just wind back another 10 years, you know, to 1988, there were no mobile phones. Only people like CIA and the President of America. Today, you can do a conference call on WhatsApp and have three or four people, and they can be in different parts of the world. You can be in Nigeria, someone can be in London, somebody can be in the US, and you're all talking. So it's not that the time has short. It's because so much is happening so quick. So much is happening. So it looks to you as if the time is so fast. Technology has made man I can go around the whole earth now in 24 hours. They were just advertising a new plane, you know, that you don't have to refuel. From any spot on the earth to any other spot on the earth, you don't have to refuel. It will fly you there. You know, so that's why it looks like that. But it is not. It's the time is still the same. But so much is happening. And so this message is very important. I have entitled it, Taking Our Daily Cross. A few weeks ago, I talked about becoming a true disciple. This is like a follow-up to that. And it's going to become much more important and significant as the coming of the Lord approaches, because the challenges of the end time will be there, and the necessity for a group of Christians who will actually do what Jesus said will become necessary. Scripture says, they will say, this is our God, we have waited for him. They just had a conference yesterday on the environment, COP 24 or something. You know, I was watching, you know, I didn't watch it. I just saw the news. You know, the environment is so delicate now, you know, because of all the fossil gases, the burning of carbon, you know, so-called greenhouse effect. You know, the planet is in disarray. You know, things are happening. You know, we can't get rid of our environmental, we can't get rid of our waste. Even plastics now are difficult to destroy. You know, they're going to the sea, they don't know where to put them, you know, and they say that if we don't do anything about it, by 2030, 2040, the planet will, you know, be in such a bad state that it's going to be very difficult for human beings to live comfortably like we've been doing in so many years. And I know it was Pastor Wega, I was saying it to Larry, I can't remember who it was. And I said, isn't that very interesting? 2030 is just about the same time, you know, we're looking at, you know, same time frame. They haven't reckoned with this. God has an answer in the church, because a bunch of guys are going to arise who will do environmental miracles and reverse some of these terrible trends supernaturally. Just like Moses did environmental miracles in Egypt, negative ones, where he turned, you know, water to blood. He turned, you know, the plague of lice and frogs and all that. Now imagine doing those same miracles positively. You know, to solve the environmental problem. Not only will there be the supernatural aspect of that, there will also be the natural aspect of it, in which God will give wisdom, scientific knowledge and wisdom, industrial knowledge and wisdom, you know, knowledge of witty inventions that would take waste and turn it to good. Bill Gates, I send this to the pastors, you know, I think we should even send it to all your groups. People should see it. Just in 2005, but it's now got to they've done it, the engineering has probably been completed now. I think they're just looking at all the business plan to bring the price down and all of that. They have invented a new toilet. You don't need water. It's not like the toilet we've been using, the same toilet we've been using since the 1800s, where you flush the toilet and it goes down and it goes into a sewer system, you know, what we call soak away. So we call it in Nigeria. Okay, you know, but they've now made a new toilet where you go to the toilet, you still go to the toilet. You know, but when you now flush it, there's technology with solar energy from the sun that would completely turn that waste to water. And you can drink it. Bill Gates drank it. He drank it. They've invested about $200 or $300 million on research and gave it to different groups, some in California Institute of Technology, in different universities all over America, really, and in a few other places in the world. And the different groups have come up with different designs. There's one particular toilet, when you sit on the toilet, when you finish your business, you know, and then you close the toilet, it causes a screw, you know, some type of mechanism that begins to work on the thing, and it burns the whole waste out, and it's clean. Nice smell. The waste is completely transformed into useful material. Some of it become fertilizer. Some of it is used for solar energy. Some of it, they even plan to put them inside planes. So when you go to the toilet in the plane, when you go to the toilet and you flush, the power is now recycled back into the plane to make it go faster. It's not science fiction, folks. It's reality. Now, if God will do that for people who are not born again, what will happen if we use our brain? The ability of the mind of Christ and come up. And all these things, though they're real, but they still need to be tweaked. You know, engineering, tweaking, you know, material tweaking to make it affordable. Imagine having that kind of toilet and we can put it all over Bere and all these local places so that the people don't have to use all this kind of toilets they are using, and we can just install it free. Now, of course, it's not free, but we can afford it. And then we install it there. The waste problem in Ibadan will go away overnight. All this waste you see on the road, you know, you see them, you know, cleaning the road and all of that waste can be converted to energy. Convert all of it to electricity. Don't you never say, God always has an answer. He's just looking for honest-hearted people we can trust. Who will use, because that kind of thing will be greater than the money that Bill Gates made through Microsoft. Everybody uses a toilet. It's constant market. You can imagine, you know, how many times people go to the toilet every day, you know, and all that waste is now becomes energy. Reality, folks. You know, don't let's stay behind the curve. I don't know, if, Pastor G, God have mercy. We can't just stay here, Kama Jeba. I'm a joker, Sha. In our language, I mean, we just can't sit here and keep eating cassava. That's one nice way of putting it. Praise the Lord. Let's get our brains thinking. Praise the Lord. Okay, now go to Luke chapter 9. Have I talked to anybody here? Luke chapter 9. And we're going to first of all look at verses 23 and 24. And then we'll just see how the Holy Ghost helps us. This is the Lord Jesus himself talking. Now, I'm going to blow some religious traditions away immediately. One of our worst enemies is our carnal mind and the traditions of our fathers that we have imbibed, and they're strongholds in our minds. This is the Lord talking, and I think he ought to know. I mean, we know God knows everything. Although he wasn't talking as God here, he was talking as a man that God had revealed stuff to, which is the same thing, really. And he said to them, if any man will come after me. How many people are coming after Jesus? Let me just give me a wave offering, somebody. Yeah. Now, if you're waving to somebody, say, God is talking to you and I. You can put your hands down. Let him, that man, deny himself and take up his cross once a week. Take up his cross when we have convention. Take up his cross when it's convenient. You know, Pastor G, you know our problem? We see what the Bible says and then we put our interpretation on it. Our practice belies our belief. The Bible says take up a cross daily, but we don't take it up daily. We take it up when it's convenient. When we have a problem. I'm not about to destroy your religious tradition. And then, of course, we define the cross in a different way. My husband is my cross. My wife is my cross. Omodei cross mini olontini agbelegbute mini. It's very the Yoruba people, you know. You know, you hear our mothers and, you know, I've heard this all my life. You know, oh, this one is just, you know, kadare niye. Have you heard that before? You know, that just means that's your destiny. That's just, that's how God just, that's your allotted portion, just to suffer. And you are, that is all of us, I'm speaking our language. You know, all of us have our cross we are going to carry. This your problem, this your sickness, this your child, this your husband, this your situation, that's your cross. Just carry it well. Nothing could be further from the truth. The man tells us here what the cross is. Let's listen. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. If it's your husband, how are you going to carry him daily? That's a joke. And follow me. This word follow me here gives us an indication of what the cross is. It's the Greek word mimetes, from where we get the English word mimic. Or imitate from. So if you want to know what the cross is, you have to know how Jesus lived daily. By study, by imitating, by mimicking the way Jesus lived daily, if you do the same thing, then you'll be carrying the same cross. Next verse, verse 24. For whosoever, is giving us an idea, shall save his life, shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. In other words, you're going to, let me paraphrase it in a simple way. You will be able to get your destiny. What God has planned for your life, the way you're going to find it is by losing your natural life. So if you lose your natural life, you will inherit your spiritual life. If you try to preserve your natural life, you will lose your spiritual life. There's a recent article, I think Pastor Wale and Pastor Laulu put it up in the Good Morning Jesus Forum, you know, where he was talking about these same things, you know, and taking up your cross and fulfilling your destiny. I remember the one particular your destiny. You have three parts to your destiny. You have a part in the book of life. That's the one all most Christians know. And they think that's the end of it. No, there are two other parts. There's a part in the holy city. Then there's a part in the things that are written inside this book. Now, if you try and save your natural life, you lose those other two parts. Many Christians live and die. And never fulfill. They lose their lives. When we say they lose their lives, that doesn't mean they go to hell. It doesn't mean that they die. Physically, you know, they die physically later on. But it means that they never grasp, they never enjoy, they never experience the life God planned for them. They lose it because of ignorance. Because they won't take their cross daily. Because they won't take up their cross daily. Now, Let's look at this a little bit more in more depth. What is the cross? Well, let's look at it physically. Let's look at it's a metaphor, you know. Jesus is using it symbolically. It's not a physical cross. Now we know what happened with Jesus on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. So when Jesus is saying that you should take up your cross daily, he's saying that daily you should crucify the sin nature in your soul and in your body. That's the meaning. So that's what he means when he says, take up your cross daily. In other words, every day, use the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the lusts of the flesh. We're going to look at these scriptures in a minute. You know, there's a scripture in Romans 8. It says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify, same thing. The word mortify, crucify means same thing. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. So when he's talking about a cross here, he's not talking about the physical cross where you're going to nail yourself. He's talking about using the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's something you have to do daily. Now he says, the way you're going to know how to do it is to follow my example. Let's say this way, copy me. Now, how did Jesus carry his cross daily? There are many things here, but two outstanding things. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And this is one of the reasons why God has started the forum, Good Morning Jesus. It's not by accident that it started in 2018. About the middle of the year, July. It's not an accident. God is trying to train us to learn. I've been preaching it for years. I've been saying it for years, but I'm sure some people were doing it. But, you know, it becomes a daily. Notice this is daily. We even did it on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
There is no day you're supposed not to get up early in the morning. This is what Jesus did. Now look at it. And in the morning, I didn't hear you. This is the cross. Oh. This is part of the cross. And in the morning, rising up, a great. I like the Bible. It wasn't 5 minutes before dawn. That's why it's 4 a.m. in the morning. A great while. Another scripture tells us it's in the fourth watch. The fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's when he would get up to pray. This is the cross. Now, why is it a cross? Because it crucifies the loss of the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to do this. And you know what? That's why I said what he said. If you try and save your life, if you're living a natural life, you don't want to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, for God's sake. Hello? Hello? If you get up at 4 a.m., 3, 4 a.m. every morning, there are some other things you are going to lose. But that's exactly what he said. He said, if you will lose that low life, you will get this high life. This spiritual life. If you will try and conserve the natural life, you will lose this other one. There are only 24 hours in a day, folks. Something has to give. Some other things will go. Television will go. I'm not saying don't watch TV. I'm saying, you know, where you used to spend 3 hours watching television, it will just die. Now, how many people know what I'm talking about? If you have Good Morning Jesus, give me a wave offering, you know. You don't have time for that again. You don't have time for gist. That doesn't mean you don't talk anymore. It's just that, you know, because you have a priority and you want to get up early in the morning, you have to make sure that there are other things that go. That's what he means when he says, if you try and save your life. So you are now losing that lower life so that you can get the higher one. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I talking to anybody here? You know, this is one of the characteristics of John Wesley. How many people know who John Wesley is? If you don't know John Wesley, you need prayer. John Wesley is a great revivalist in England in the mid-1700s to the late 1800s. He was the one that wrote all these hymns we sing. Hark the herald angels sing, and so on and so forth, you know. Love divine, all those eggs. You know, God used him mightily. Revival throughout England. In fact, I can say, not single-handedly, but through John and Charles Wesley, the whole of England changed in the 1700s. And that's what made Great Britain great. That revival changed everything. And England became the industrial powerhouse of the entire world through the invention of the steam engine. Hello? The locomotives. You know, these railway, then they exported to all the other, you know, America and all. They all got it from England. Manufacturing, all of that, the industrialization, it all came out of the Wesley revival. Just like another one is coming from Nigeria now.
Yeah.
This Feast of Tabernacles. This revival that's going to come is going to catapult Nigeria. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To another level of technology. Another level of industrialization. Another level of agricultural production. Some of the things I've been talking about now, you know, converting waste to energy and all of that. It's going to come on these wings of these things. Because revival is coming to the nation. And our children will wake up. Their minds will become enlightened. Hallelujah. We can already see it in the Yahoo boys. It's only that it's in the negative. Nigerians are some of the smartest guys on the planet. Mike Zuckerberg, the guy who owns Facebook, he came to Nigeria and they took him to Yaba and went, he said, what? I said, so this programming, these boys, that these boys didn't go to school. All they just sit down and copy and all that. Imagine the life of God on top of them. It's on the way. Hallelujah. Okay. So in the morning, rising up a great while, as in the fourth watch, you know, 2-3 hours, he went out and departed into what? A solitary place. You don't need distraction. That's why you do this kind of praying early in the morning. Early in the morning, people don't phone you. Early in the morning, there's no, you know, problem here, because nobody wakes anybody up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So you can concentrate and give your whole attention to God. God's not stupid. Are you listening to me? No, furthermore, early in the morning, most of the other people are sleeping. Because they are sleeping, Satan has no ammunition. Because he uses the words of men's mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So where he gets his power is when people are talking. But they are sleeping at that time, and that's the time you are working. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It is a spiritually strategic time. Am I talking to anybody here? If you're not joined the Good Morning Jesus Forum yet, do it! And start using it to practice. It's a booster. It will help you to develop the habit. Because once you develop a good habit, you stay with it. Amen. So to help you take up your cross daily. The second thing about the Lord Jesus that we need to copy, this is number one, is Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Am I talking to anybody here? Hebrews, this is what he did. So this is what he meant when he said, take up your cross daily. He said, and follow me. It was, mimic me. Imitate me. Now watch him. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up, what? Prayers and supplications with what? Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Everyone say prayer, supplication, strong crying, fear of God. Those are things you're going to copy. You say, follow me. So you need to have the fear of God, honesty and humility of heart. That's now going to make the groaning. It's like strong crying, it's really groanings. Amen. Supplication is exactly, we're going to get there later on before I close. You know, we're going to see the how, as Paul writes in the book of Ephesians. He says, praying always, all prayer and supplication. He's just saying the same thing. Praying always, all prayer and supplication with, you know, in the spirit. That's how you take up your cross. Notice the title of this message is Taking Up Our Daily Cross. It means all of us have the same cross. It is our daily cross. It is not Laolu's daily cross. It's not Pastor Lubi's daily cross. All of us, if Jesus is your Lord, it's the same cross. It's our cross. It's the same. We don't have different crosses. It's the same cross. To crucify the flesh by the spirit. Hallelujah. And you know what? If you carry this cross, you won't carry the other ones you used to carry. You won't carry the cross of your husband. You won't carry the cross of your son. You won't carry the cross of your wife. You won't carry the cross of your sickness. You know, and all the other crosses you've been carrying. Because if you carry this cross, you will crucify the flesh and all those other problems will get solved. You need to carry. You are carrying unnecessary crosses. Carry this cross and you won't carry any other cross. Is this clear? Okay. So, this is our daily cross. All of us. We are called to crucify the sin nature in our souls and bodies daily by the power of the Holy Spirit through these habits. Getting up early in the morning, a great while before the day. And then when we do get up, we now pray, but not just any kind of prayer, with all prayer and supplication, with strong crying and tears in the fear of God. Amen. So that's what the cross is. Now, I've explained this, but I'm going to go in a little bit more detail. You know, is to crucify. The word crucify just means to kill, to deaden, you know, the lusts of the flesh. The problem we have as Christians is the sin nature in our flesh. Paul graphically describes this in the book of Galatians, talking to born again, spirit filled, tongue talking Christians. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one another, so you cannot do what you should do. Now, of course, we want to do what we should do. So how will I do what I should do? By crucifying the flesh that's causing my problem. The flesh that is not making me do what I should do, I now kill it. I crucify it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we see this graphically described in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8 in two sections. You know, first of all, let's look at verses 10 through 13. Firstly, in the King James, then we'll go to the Amplified later on and just look at verse 13 in the Amplified. Now, watch this. He says, and if Christ be in you, here, give me a wave offering. All right, put your hand out. So you qualify. Notice it's conditional, if Christ be in you, if you're born again. Okay, Christ is in us. All right? The body is dead because of sin. Now, how many people know that your body is not dead? This guy is still alive. He's shaking me. Praise the Lord. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about the body having the nature of sin, the sin nature inside it. So it is dead spiritually. That's why your body likes sin. That's why your body has these funny impulses. Wants to do things that are contrary to the will of God. It's dead. It's spiritually dead. But that's the bad news. The good news is that you can keep making spiritually alive. But you do that by crucifying. Hello? The body is dead. I didn't hear you. Because of sin. But the spirit is life. You can put it this way. The spirit, your born again human spirit, has access to the life of God because of righteousness, right standing because of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I've put a lot of things in there, but that's what he's saying. Are you listening to me? In other words, watch this. God is so wise. The body is dead. It has sin nature inside. But the spirit is now born again and is now connected to God. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus, the spirit now has access. It can now access the life of God. So it now becomes a channel through which I can now get life from God into my spirit. Then from my spirit, through supplication, groaning, and all of that, I can now pump the life of God that is inside my spirit into the physical body to crucify the flesh. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful system. Look at the next verse, verse 11. He explains it there, you know, though we'll expand this further, you know, before we close. But if, I didn't hear you folks, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. How many people here have the Holy Ghost inside them? I didn't see your hand, though. I told you the angels are watching from heaven. Amen. Now, speak in tongues, somebody. Just call Shalem. So you we don't think you have the Holy Ghost. We know. So if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the same Holy Ghost that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken. Give that to me, the New International Version. That's Old English. He who raised Christ from the dead will also what? Give life to what? Your mortal body through his spirit who lives in you. Wonderful. It means that I can now take the life that is inside my spirit and put it inside this troublesome body and tame it. That's the cross. That is the cross. That is how you crucify the lust of the flesh. You take the life of God from the Spirit through righteousness, the blood of Jesus. Then through prayer and intercession and groaning and travail, you know, that's why strong crying and tears. You now pump it. I use the word pump. They didn't have pumps in those days. But you know, that's why they use the word spring. But the same thing. You know, you now pump it into the physical body. And when it enters the body, it will now begin to destroy the lust of the flesh in the body. That's the crucifying. That's how you crucify. And you are commanded. It is not a suggestion, Pastor G. He says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily. It's not optional. Someone said, I tried to do this. Yeah, you know why? And it didn't work. Or it's not working properly. You're not doing it daily. You do it when it's convenient. You do it when you think, you know, maybe you have a problem and then you want to, you know. But it is the daily practice of this thing, cumulatively. Everyone say cumulatively. What that means is added up over time. You know, it is the daily practice of this added up over time that brings the results that you will see. It's not something you just do once or twice. That's why the master in instructing us, he said, we must do it daily. So getting up early in the morning must be daily. Amen. Praying with strong crying and tears, with all kinds of prayer spirit, must be daily. Amen. Or else you won't crucify the flesh and you will lose your life. Lose your life, that means you will not inherit, you will not experience that higher life God has planned for you. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin in the 1959 in El Paso, Texas. I wasn't even born. Sometime in February, if I remember right, I was born in May. You know. And to cut a long story short, Kenneth Hagin had an accident and his hand was in plaster of Paris. And Jesus said, this thing has happened to you because you got out of my perfect will into my... If it wasn't Jesus who said it, I wouldn't have believed it. Into my permissive will. What did Kenneth Hagin do? He didn't smoke. He didn't drink. He did not commit adultery. He did not steal money. You would think Kenneth Hagin is one of the best pastors ever. Righteous. Good man. What was the problem? When I tell you the answer, it will amaze you. He put his teaching ministry above his prophetic ministry. Finish you. He didn't do anything. You know, the things we consider the moral, he committed adultery, he did this, he exaggerated, he took money, and all that. Yeah, Kenneth wasn't doing all that. He was serving God. But he made a mistake. He put the teaching ministry, because it's more popular. Like people have told me over the years, criticized me and said, Olubi, all this one, all this prophetic, leave it now. You know, you're a fine teacher. You know, just teach healing, success, prosperity. He said, because if you do that, the crowd will go, and they went. It's the truth. I refuse to change. I'm not going to put my teaching above my prophetic ministry. I'm going to put them in the correct order. It's always prophets and teachers. It's never teachers and prophets. Go and check it. Jesus took Kenneth Hagin in that vision. Anyway, to cut a long story short, at that time, Kenneth Hagin was 42 years old. Kenneth Hagin was born in 1917. This is 1959. Kenneth Hagin was only 42. Listen to this to help you get serious. And Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he said, if this accident had not happened, He said, I allowed it. He said, it's the devil who did it. He said, but I have allowed it to arrest your attention. So you will learn not to disobey me. What did Kenny into your law? He didn't do anything. This man was serving God, preaching the gospel, having word of wisdom, word of knowledge, laying hands on the sick, you know, doing deliverance. Ah, this man serving God. Jesus said, you put the teaching ministry above the prophetic ministry. He said, if I did not call your attention, allow this accident to happen, and call your attention, he said, you would have continued that way and you would have died at the age of 55. 55 was still 13 years down the road. It was still 13 years down the road. You know, that's why, and the reason why I remembered, you know, and the Holy Spirit asked me to share it here, and you can check it, go and check Ken Hagin's book, I Believe in Visions. It's available online. You know, Ken Hagin Ministries, they will pay for it online with your card, they will send it to you. Now, if you don't have it already, I'm sure it's available in bookshops in Nigeria, you know, in places. Anyway, the important thing is, he told me, he said, you would have died at the age of 55. But that's not all he said. He said, and you would never have entered the first phase of your ministry. Luashano. If it was not Jesus who said it. Watch this. Not only would he have died at the age of 55. So all this one he has been doing. He hadn't entered the first phase. All is all been preparation. He had not entered the first phase of his ministry. Why am I saying this? We're talking about that. If you will save your life, you will lose it. Ken Tegu would have lost his whole life. The purpose of God for his life, if he had continued in that line. And we wouldn't have known. We would have thought, oh, there was this man of God in America. The very nice man, nice homo. How they cool at the age of 55. Oh, my shell. Everybody will cry and go home. Like they've done for millions of others. Because they will not take up their cross daily. So they lost their lives. Ken Hagin would have, thank God he did not, because he obeyed God. You know, he would have lost, he would not have lived past the age of 55. He would never have entered into the first phase of his ministry. All those times, all the thing he was doing was just evangelistic work. He was going around preaching, which was okay. He would be blessed for it and all that. But the purpose of God, everyone say purpose and destiny. He would never have entered it. And Jesus took the next 1.5 hours to teach him about the prophet's ministry. He said, I've called you into the office of the prophet. He said, now you have to put that priority because there is a purpose I have for my church and for my people. He said, and many pastors will not like it. He said, don't mind them. He said, if they will not accept you, go to another place. He said, who sent you, me or the people? Go and read it. He said, who sent you, me or the people? And you know, Ken Hagin writes this in his account. He said, just very nice. You know, his eyes are always full of love and all that. He said, but there's a time when he changes. He said, and the eyes become like, he now understands the Bible. He says, his eyes are like a flame of fire. Just said, who sent you? Me or the people. Me or the people. He said, if you go, he said, many pastors, many churches will not accept the prophet's ministry. He said, don't stop it because they don't like it. They didn't send you, I sent you. Just like us now, many people don't like the prophetic. They want me to come and preach prosperity, man-centered, need-oriented, entertainment-based. I will not. Amen. It's going to be Christ-centered. Kingdom oriented and anointing based. You like it, you don't like it. You know, it's true. We're not going to change for anybody. You didn't send me. Like I've said many times over the years, you know, I serve you, but I'm not your servant. You don't dictate the menu. The person who owns the restaurant dictates the menu. His name is God. So he determines what I serve. I'm your servant. I serve you. Do you understand? But I don't take my orders from you. I take it from him. And then it's according to his own specifications, I put it in front of you. If you like, eat. If you don't like, don't eat. Eat so that you can grow and you can be nourished and strong. So that's what happened. So here, let's look at this now. He says, but if the spirit of him raised up Jesus from the dead, he that raised will give life. So this mortal body, this sin nature, you can put life into it and reverse it. What I was talking about. This thing not only works for sin, it works for sickness. That's the amazing thing. It works not only works for sin, it works for sickness. Just like the mortal body has a tendency to sin, the mortal body has a tendency to be sick. So if you put the life of God inside, as it is reversing the sin, it will also reverse the sickness. Sad is not being taught or emphasized. Next verse. Therefore, brethren, thank you. Stay in the King James now. Therefore, brethren. Who is it talking to? Brethren, thank you. We are not debtors. We are debtors. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Christians have no excuse now to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, it's because of stubbornness, rebellion, and disobedience. God has made everything available so that you don't have to live after the flesh. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. Next verse. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Who is he talking to? Brethren. Can brethren die? Of course they can. And millions have been. And still are. Sadly, it's not because that's the will of God. You live after the flesh. If you don't take up your cross, you will lose your life. You will lose your prophetic destiny. You will not find it. That's why this message is so important. But that's the good news. The first part was the bad news. They always say bad news. Now we want to go to the good news. Hallelujah. But this is good news. If ye through the Spirit, notice how you do it. You cannot do it by gra-gra. You cannot do it by natural ability. It is through the Spirit. If ye through the what? Do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall what? Live. The Greek word is zoa. Is the verb transitive of zoe. In other words, the life of God is what's going to be walking inside you. Then you will find your prophetic destiny and you will fulfill it. You will not lose your life. Give this to me in the Amplified Bible. And then we'll go to Ephesians 6 and close by the grace of God. But if you live according to dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. This is terrible. It's certain. So many Christians. Like Kenneth Hagin. Like Kenneth Hagin. That man's life was an example to our generation. He told another story, which I'll just mention in passing, because it's relevant. You know, the year was 1949. To give you a background, Kenneth Hagin got born again when he was 17 years old. He was sick. God healed him supernaturally of a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. His grandparents were quite well-to-do. They sent to Mayo Clinic in America, where the top scientists, I'm talking about in the 1930s, they said, there's nothing anybody can do. It's a hopeless case. The boy will not see his 17th birthday. He got bedfast at the age of 16. To cut a long story short, he believed God, saw Mark 11:23, trust, and God healed him supernaturally. Then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. This 9:34, he got filled with the Holy Spirit 9:37. So after he got filled, he started preaching. You know, so from 1934 to 1949, is how many years? About 14, 15 years. Yeah. You know, he'd been preaching, filled with the Holy Spirit. He used to be in the Assemblies of God. So he was an itinerant, you know, he would pastor churches, you know, and then he would go and preach. In those 14 years, listen to me very carefully, because it's an example for us. In those 14 years, people got born again under his ministry. People got filled with the Holy Spirit. People spoke in tongues. People were healed. People were delivered. But 1949, this is just after World War II, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, I want you to go and start praying the Ephesian prayer for yourself. That's Ephesians chapter 1. That's where we got it from. So he said he started doing it three times every day, morning, afternoon, and night, that he would get on his knees in the wooden floor in the church where he used to pastor, you know, and pray, God give me, Kenneth Hagin, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, and so on and so forth. So he did that three times every day. He did it for 6 months. This is personal testimony. He said, after 6 months, he began to get so much revelation. He said, he wondered, what have I been saying these past 14 years? He said, watch this. I learned more in 6 months than I learned in 14 years of ministry. How many of us are wasting our time? You can't understand. That's why I quoted it. You know, we say, if you don't take up your cross, so you will lose your life. God had to call his attention. So he now began that these visions that he began to have were an answer to that prayer to the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's just that it first of all came by ordinary revelation, then later on it now started coming in vision form. Are you listening to me? So for 14 years, he had ministry, but not purpose. If you look at Kenneth Hagin from the natural, you think he's an excellent pastor. But he hadn't even entered the first phase of his ministry. And he had made a mistake, a technical mistake, putting his the teaching ministry above the prophetic ministry, and was already off course and was going to hit a wrong destiny at the age of 55. Why did God allow him to write it in a book for the rest of the body of Christ so we can learn? Take up your cross daily so you don't lose your life. If you try and save your life, you lose it. But if you will lose your life for my sake, then you will find it. Look at this. But if you live according to the flesh, but if you through, I didn't hear you, the power of the Holy Spirit, I like this, habitually, I didn't hear you, putting to death, this is crucifying. That's why you have to do it daily. It has to be a daily habit. You are habitually putting to death, hallelujah, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body or the sin nature inside the body. He said, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Hello? That's the cross. That's why it is our daily cross. I have the same cross as you. You have the same cross as me, because we all have, the body is dead because of sin. We all have the same sin nature in our flesh. The Yoruba will say, Enrara ni bubuwa. Did I get it right? Don't worry, it will pass. Praise the Lord. Elenrara. That means we all have we all have flesh and blood. We all have the sin nature. They say it in that context. You know, when somebody does something, they say, you know, we are all encompassed with the same infirmity. So we all have the same cross. That cross is to kill that sin nature in that Enrara. Did I get it? Are you listening to me? Now let's close. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about the daily cross. How? I've already said it, but we now want to expatiate it, you know, so it becomes clear. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, and you start from verse 12. Verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6. You see, Paul does something here by the Holy Spirit. This same Paul was the one Kenneth Hagin followed. As I pray in spirit of wisdom and revelation, that Jesus now appeared to him and told him about these things in more detail. Paul had told them a lot of things. Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3 give you the revelation of who we are in Christ and the great things. Chapter 3 ends this way. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. You know, when he ends Ephesians chapter 3, he ends with that wonderful prayer that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love, you know, being able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, breadth, depth, and height of the body of Christ. That, watch this, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Wow! Then he goes to chapter 4, say, walk worthy of this vocation. You know, tells us about the fivefold ministry. Then he says, if you are telling lies, don't tell lies anymore. He that steals, don't steal anymore. You know, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. He begins to give simple instructions. And he continues that into chapter 5. You know, walk in love, you know, and then your husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband, and all that, and all that, and all that. Then he stops. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How? Next verse. Put on half the armor of God. This is the full cross. The whole armor of God. And he begins to use a metaphor of the Roman soldier to describe it. I'm not going to go into all of that. Let me just tell you what it is. The whole armor of God is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I understand. And you're supposed to put all the fruit of the Spirit on. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. You go and do the analysis, or go and read my article. It's called The Right Hand of God. I preached it in 2005 or something. It's in our weekly Rhema. You get the details. You will see that all of those things, the breastplate of righteousness, is all the fruit of the Spirit. It's a great revelation. One of the great revelations God's given me. You know, it's all there. But the important point is this. He's not telling you all these things I told you, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 5. The way they're going to become practical and real in your life is by doing Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against all the tricks of the devil. Next verse. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, you know, the wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Then he repeats himself, verse 13. Wherefore, he has said it before, for emphasis. God, Lord, the Holy Spirit, for emphasis. This thing is not a thing you joke with. It. This is something you must do. You understand? So this armor of God, you have to put on daily. It's part of the cross. You got to put on. That's why this love prayer, you don't joke with it. That's why you get up early in the morning, join the Good Morning Jesus Forum. All those prayers are inside it. You know, you pray the armor of love. You put it on. You put on the life. You know, the life of God. Then we go through all of the armor. Then go to verse 17. We're going to close and take the helmet of salvation, which is, you know, the revelation of perfection and the revelation of resurrection. You put all of them are on. Hallelujah. So when anything comes to your mind, you know, it's something, you have an armor there. It's like a bulletproof thing. You know, if you have any something, it will bounce back. Hallelujah. This is, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. This has to do with using the word of God, firstly, to receive life. Then secondly, as a legal basis for your prayers. It is with, watch this, it is not haphazard. Watch, thank you. You first of all put on the armor. Then you now take the word of God. Then you now pray in the Spirit. You know the problem, church? They want to pray in the Spirit, no armor, no word of God. That's why most Christians all over the world can't pray for more than 10, 15 minutes in tongues. You cannot enter a firefight without bulletproof. You can't sustain it. It's too tight. Like I shared the joke the other day about, you know, one of my friends was telling me, he tried it. He said, ah, OJ, he said, onrumoru. Why do you think people find it difficult to pray in the Spirit? for a long time, especially with groaning and travail. The flesh can't take it. But if you put the armor on, and then you fill the heart with the life of God, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, you have the fuel, you can go in there and you can last an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours. And when the fuel goes down, you can even refuel in flight. You can refuel in midair. You don't have to land. You know, they have that technology now. There are planes in America, you know, all these B-52s and all of that. When they're going on long-range missions, they don't land anywhere. Another plane comes and joins them. Then they just hook up. Hallelujah. Then they now pass the fuel from the first plane to the second plane. You refuel in flight. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues. You just take a short pause. You ask for mercy. Take the blood, life, and power. You refuel and you check back in. Praise the Lord. The thing works. If we don't do it our way, and we do it His way. Are you listening to me? Now, look at the last one, and that's where we're going to close this. Praying always. Now, once you put that armor, this is your daily cross. You take the whole armor. You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You use it to get life. Put the word of God inside you. Then you now start praying in the Spirit. The praying in the Spirit is supposed to be consistent. Always. Daily, you know, and then consistently. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity. And then by this, in every temptation, you will be able to pray. You'll be able to pray. When you feel a little something, you just load up a little bit like Jesus, you know, and then you go back. Are you listening to me? It is this praying in the Spirit, with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, which includes groaning and travail and all the different supplication and all different kinds of prayer in the Spirit, that is the avenue through which the Holy Spirit is able to crucify the lust of the flesh, work in your life, work in your circumstances, and cause all things to work together for your good. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. What is that infirmity? The lust of the flesh. For we know not what we should pray for. Romans 8:26. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with what? Groaning, strong crying. Same thing. And tears unto him that was able to save him and was heard in that he feared. That's in Hebrews 5. With groans which cannot be uttered. Look at the next verse. Verse 27. It's beautiful scriptures. He that searcheth the hearts. Who is searching the heart? God the Father. Knows what is the mind of the Spirit. This is, watch this. You are only an avenue through which the Godhead is making an operation. What a great opportunity. What a great privilege. Are you listening to me? This thing is not you. It's between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are you listening? You just happen to be the channel on the earth to make it legal. So they are using your mouth, you know, as a channel to push the thing inside the earth. The Father knows what is inside the mind of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the one who is praying for you. Because the Holy Spirit is not speaking of Himself. So Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Holy Spirit, and God the Father are all working through you. And you say you are not interested. And they say, we only need two things from you. Please get up early in the morning. And your heart and your mouth. And you know, have an honest and a humble heart. And open your mouth. And we will do the rest. Because He maketh intercession for the sinners. This is for Christians, folks. For the saints according to the will of God. Next verse. And we know. This is the one we all quote. Everybody quotes this scripture out of context. And we know all things. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying every bad thing that happens to the devil and somehow you just hope that it will all work together. No. He's saying, if you look at it in the New International Version, he says, in all things, God is working for the good. In all things, God works for the good of those that love Him through the intercession who have been called according to His purpose. Verse 29. And that's going to be my punchline and close. For those He did foreknow. I didn't hear you. He also did predestinate. This is your destiny. This is your life. Watch this. This is the life you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose it while you are here on earth. You want to live long enough so this becomes a reality in your life. That's what he was talking about. He says, if you keep your natural life and you don't discipline yourself, you don't get up early in the morning, you don't make yourself available to me to pray, he says, you're going to lose this thing. And he doesn't want you to lose it. That's what he meant when he says, if you keep your life, you will lose it. He said, but if you will lose your life for my sake, he said, you will get it. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he who, Jesus, might be the firstborn among. This is the destiny of the Christian. And the road to it is taking up your cross daily. It must become a daily habit. Thank God for the Good Morning Jesus platform. Don't waste it. If nothing else, it would train you to get up early in the morning. And once you join the corporate prayer, that corporate anointing will help you. And then even after the prayer, that's not the end of the prayer. After good morning, you're praise God. No, after the good morning Jesus prayer, you continue to pray. As you're having your bath and all of that, you're praying in tongues. Are you listening to me? You get out of the house once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. You see, you've put on that armor at the beginning of the day. So you are going to now pray in the Spirit throughout the day. No matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, no matter the situation. Yesterday I went to Lagos. We had a family thing, you know. And, you know, I got there. You know, we were in church. In the church, of course, I wasn't praying out loud. Nobody would even know what I'm doing. You know, as they were, you know, I was praying. I prayed a little bit, you know. Of course, I don't pray all the time. You know, I pray, then I stop. I have to talk to people. And I pray again, you know. Then, you know, got to the reception. We're having, you know, food and everything. You know, I ate, you know, I went to the bathroom. When I go to the bathroom, I pray. Hello, somebody. You know, I come back, socialize with people, blah, 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 you know, laugh, talk, blah, 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 blah. Go back to the bathroom, you know. Just before I left for Lagos, back for Ibadan, I went to the bathroom. I prayed again. Got inside my car, coming back to Ibadan, I prayed. That's what the man said. That's it. That's your life. But if you will do it, you will find your life. You will fulfill your destiny. You will not lose it. Like Ed Hagen had made that mistake, you will not be caught short at 55 Amen. Or 65 Amen. Or 75 Amen. Or 85 Amen. Or 95. You will live long enough to see his salvation. Amen. He said, I will show him. It doesn't mean show by revelation. It means show by experience. Demonstration. With long life. And show him my salvation. But the key is take up your cross daily. Let us pray. Talk to God. Am I talking to anybody here? Take up your cross. Taking our daily cross. It's not Olubi's cross. It's not Buiga's cross. It is our cross. It's all of us. We are the same cross. Your cross is not all the funny things they told you. This is your cross. This is your cross. Take it up daily. Put on the whole armor of God. Get up early in the morning. And you have a forum now that helps you to do that. It will be a disaster, God forbid, of unimaginable proportions for the glory to come and for you to have missed out when everything was made available. A forum to get up early in the morning has been made available. So you can get up early in the morning now. 3-4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, put on your armor, amen. And it's like a impetus. It pushes you. That's not the end, though. It just gives you that push. It gives you the push. Then you maintain it throughout the day. I said this before, but it bears repetition. See. Where the church has missed it in these last 2,000 years is that, you know, we've put everything into little compartments. Oh, Pastor Olubi is a pastor. God called him to be a pastor. So this is for him. You know, I'm not a pastor, so I'm not called to do that. We are all called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's your calling. Kunle is not called to be a consultant shrink. Keep it simple. So, psychiatrist, isn't it? Okay. And Prof here is not called to be a professor of veterinary anatomy. Brother Corey is not called just to be an engineer. No. Those are just things you do along the way. You are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Let's get it right. We've missed it. Thinking that, there's pastors that are called to be pastors. This one's called to be a prophet. This one's called to be an evangelist. No! You're called to be conformed to the name of Jesus. And the more like Jesus you become, the better a pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, whatever. Professor, doctor, engineer, teacher, you will be. The wisdom you will get, the character you will get, will make you a better teacher, a better doctor. Obviously. So don't miss your calling. Don't lose your life. If you try and save your life, this natural life, I don't want to get up early in the morning. I don't want to pray. I don't want to grow. I don't want to inconvenience myself. You're going to lose the higher life. But if you lose the higher, lower life, you will get the higher life. And then every other thing in your life that maybe you put aside for a short while, you will get it back in this lifetime 100-fold. Stand to your feet. I can't make it any clearer than I have. By the help of the Holy Spirit, I want you to make up your mind. We're 2018 is closing. This new year, you will take up your cross daily. You've already started. Because I believe with all my heart, we will see the glory. And I want you to be ready. Nobody under the sound of my voice is going to fail. By the grace and the mercy of God. And remember, it's you, but it's not you. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. It's going to be the mercy and the grace of God. It's going to be operating through you. I have one more message I'm going to give on this called Giving All Diligence. It's you, but it's not you alone. That's the good news. That's why it's sure. You're going to make it. It can be done. God is a good God. He has not asked you to do what you cannot do. Just cooperate with Him. His mercy and grace will operate through you. And it will be okay. You will make it. You can take up your cross daily. Because it's not just going to be you. It is going to be you. And the grace and the mercy of God with you. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Shepherd of my soul,
I give you full control.
Wherever you lead,
wherever you may lead, I will follow.
I have made the choice. Story.
I have made.
Wherever you may lead,
I will go.
Let's start again. Start from the beginning. Shepherd of my soul. Sing it to Him.
Shepherd of my soul.
Lord, I give you full control.
I give you full control.
Wherever you may lead.
I will follow.
I have made the choice.
I have made the choice
to listen for your voice.
For your voice.
Stream.
Oh,
I am so
shepherd of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul is now my God.
Shepherd of my soul. Sing it to him.
Shepherd of my soul.
I give you.
I give you full control.
Wherever. Glory to God.
Be it in the quiet pasture, or by a gentle stream,
the
shepherd,
of my soul is now my God. Should I face glory to God?
Oh, a valley dark and deep. My soul.
The shepherd of my soul is now my God.
Should I face a mighty mountain?
Should I face the
Don't be afraid.
A
valley dark and deep.
The shepherd of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul is now my God.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. God is just looking for willing vessels. He's about to release a power into the earth that has never been seen before. This is going to even surpass what came at Pentecost. For the glory of the Lord is going to be greater than former. That's why all these messages are coming. If I were you, if you haven't done it already, make up your mind and say, from today I'm going to take up that cross daily. No matter what. I'm not going to try and save my life and lose it. I will rather lose my life and save it. He tells us. Look at Peter. Look at John. Look at those young boys. I'm talking back in those days. It looked as if, you know, what are you? They call them a rabble. Rabble rousers. Say, one Galilean. They despise them. They said they took knowledge that they were ignorant men. But they shook an empire. Today, the whole world knows Peter, James, and John. Because they yield to him. And guess what? They never lost the fishing business. Amazing. They only put it aside. I'm sure after the business was that boomed. They will hire more servants and all while they were going around preaching the gospel. God will never owe you a penny. Whatever it is that you sacrifice, God is going to give it back to you. And that's why he told, you know, God is a good person. He's a person of integrity. I speak this with truth and reality in my heart, not religion. I've got to know him. I'm still knowing him better and better. I've come to know God. God is a good person. He is a good God. It's not rhetoric. It's not religious rhetoric. This is fact. That's why Peter asked him. The rich young ruler came. And Jesus said, go and sell everything. You know, you think, are you crazy? Can I go and sell everything? But Jesus had a better plan for the boy. And he had no idea. Jesus said, go and sell everything. He said, wow. He said, you know. So he went away sad. Then Peter said, hey, come on, Lord. We've left everything. But he said, who then can be saved? He said, it's easier for a camel to go to the eye of a needle. I said, man, we're all rich. What's going to happen to us? Otherwise, they would not have said, who then can be saved? They weren't poor. That's why they said, who then can be saved? Then Jesus said, this is impossible with men, but it's possible with God. They said, what, we've left everything. What's going to happen to us? Jesus said, chill. This is a little bit translation. He said, there is no man So it's not just you, Peter. It's not just you, James. It's not just you, John. It's you, Boega.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's you, Kumle. And it's you, Prof.
Amen.
And say, any man, you have nothing to worry about. Shall give anything up for my sake and the gospel. He said, in this lifetime, you're going to get 100-fold. And he's very specific. He makes it in this lifetime. In other words, if in this lifetime you get to the conform to the image of Christ, all of those things are going to get back. And you will get them back 100-fold. Turn to your neighbor, say it's a win-win, man. It's a great deal. Give yourself a high five, somebody. Give somebody a high five. Say, man, it's a good deal, man. After all, God is the original Jew. He only makes good deals. Hallelujah. God is the original Jew. I am the Lord thy God that teacheth thee to profit. Give him a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. He's not giving us a bad deal. He's giving us a good deal. Man, just a few years of inconvenience. It's worth it, man. I will wake up early in the morning. Hallelujah. I will pray with strong crying and tears. I will follow his example. And I will inherit the spirit without measure and all things. Put your hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. That's it. It's worth it. It's worth every penny. So don't hold anything back. Don't hold it back. It's a good deal. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Receiving your blood, in Jesus' name we have life. We receive your life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Receive your power. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come today, reminding me of my obligation to take up the cross daily. I understand that taking up the cross is using the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis to crucify the lusts of the flesh by getting up early in the morning in the fourth watch and then praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit and supplication, putting on the whole armor of God, and then praying with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the spirit, with strong crying and tears, with the fear of God, honesty and humility of heart. I understand it now. And I will. I, yet not I, but your mercy and your grace that are with me and will increasingly continue with me. Do it. Do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. We're going to take the benediction. We've already prayed for our healing early on, so, you know, so just practice what I've told you. Anytime any sickness comes to your body, resist it the same way you resist sin. You know, when it comes to sin, I mean, God forbid, if something comes to you, you know, wants to tempt you to commit adultery and fornication, you know how you resist it in the spirit. You know, you pray and then you avoid it and all of that. You diligently, you don't allow yourself just to fall into it. Same thing with sickness. Treat sickness the same way you treat sin. They're twins. Siamese twins. They're joined together forever. Whenever you see sin, sickness is coming behind it. Wherever you see sickness, sin is somewhere behind. Get rid of one, you get rid of the other. Join out with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift all the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor, say, you take up your cross daily. God bless you. Have a great week.